I know it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. And I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know, I've done all I can. You see, I begged, stole, and I borrowed. That's why I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning. That's why I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning. Why in the world would anybody put chains on me? Yeah, I paid my dues just to make it. Everyone who wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. No. That's why I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning. That's why I'm easy. Easy like Sunday morning. Y'all know that song, hopefully. It's Lionel Richie's early 80s. And it's funny because I'll never forget, I wasn't a priest at the time, but since then when that song comes out, I always laugh because it says, easy like Sunday morning. You know, and it's funny because over the years, I'll be up front with you, when somebody comes to me on Sunday and they say, you know, I know this is the day that you have so much stuff. I think to myself every time, this is the easiest day of my week. Everybody finally thinks I'm working. They leave me alone, you know. But the truth of the matter is, here's the question I want to lay out for you from that. Are you easy? Are you an easy person? Or are you not so easy? I mean, do you make things more complicated than they need to be? Do you sometimes, you know, get your emotions involved either by shutting them totally off or by really emphasizing them over something that's minutia? You come together where you're complicated and you can make a simplest task into something bigger and larger than life, but it doesn't need to be. Are you easy? Well, I'm going to try and unpack the gospel for today to try and address that question, are you easy? You know, it's funny because Jesus, I would say, was easy. He had difficult teaching, don't get me wrong. His teaching was very, very difficult. But his person, who he was easy. What you see is what you get. This is who I am. Not going to pull any punches on you. Now, his teaching, yeah, that was difficult. It was hard to take because he was talking in sometimes in heavenly words, you know, on this earth. And it was like, we don't get it. But his person, what he expressed, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt that you as a person speak louder, especially to your children. You speak louder to your children in how you live rather than in the words that you have. I believe that that is truth to the max. People see, and especially kids see, because they're great observers, okay? See, you know, who you are, and you speak to them in the way you live, in the way you're home or not at home in your own skin. And to be easy means you're at home in your own skin. Now let me unpack this scripture for you. The scripture that we have today from the gospel is really interesting. It says that a scribe comes up to Jesus. Now let me make this clear. This scribe obviously has seen Jesus in some other situations. It says that he likes the way he's been answering questions. The questions that are directly before this instance is where the Sadducees, who don't believe in a resurrection, have tried to entrap Jesus with a question about marriage. And, you know, Jesus basically sums up, hey, listen, you know, the God that we have is God of, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Then right after that, the Sadducees and the Pharisees come together and try to trap Jesus again, which turns out to where Jesus says, give me a Roman coin. And he says, whose image is on it? You know, rend unto Caesar what is Caesar and what is God's unto God's. That scribe that's been following and listening to all that says, this guy can really answer some questions. He's good. Comes up and says, what is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? Now you got to understand, back in those days, they were operating from the perspective of the Jewish law. There was 613 statutes in the Jewish law. 248 of them were positive, 365 were negative. Okay? In other words, don't do this, don't do that. And the negative, positives, to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the positives. And he comes up and he says to Jesus, he says, what is the first commandment? And Jesus responds to him and says, the first commandment is, you know, the Lord is one. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? The guy looks at him and says, that's exactly right. That's right. God wants that more than all the offerings and all the sacrifices. He wants that. And what does Jesus say? He looks at him and says to the guy, you're really close to the kingdom of God. You're really close to the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting because, people, this wasn't an unheard of question. In fact, it's recorded in Jewish history where many people, there's a story about a teacher in the time of Jesus, his name was Hillel, and he was a really famous teacher in the Sanhedrin, and a Gentile came up and said, if you can tell me the sum of the law while I stand on one leg, I'll become a Jew. And basically, Hillel said this to him. He said, what you hate for yourself, don't do to your neighbor. That's the whole law. So when Jesus is asked this question, it didn't surprise him. Now let me unpack this for you. Because I believe that what Jesus did that day wasn't just give him two of the highest of all laws. I think Jesus rolled everything together into one longer sort of statement and command. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. First question is, who's your neighbor? Well, that question was asked to Jesus too, wasn't it? I mean, to be upfront with you, the young man comes up and says, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus states exactly what he states here. To love the Lord God, love your neighbor as yourself. He thinks he's going to trick his way around. He says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus, what does he do? He tells the story of the Good Samaritan. It's interesting. He doesn't answer, who is my neighbor? He teaches how to be a neighbor. In other words, he puts the emphasis always back on you and me. It's not like Jesus is ever pointing out things at other people. He's always pointing the finger at yourself. And I think in this scripture, he does it again. Who is your neighbor? Well, it's the people that cross your path. Yeah, it's the people that you're familiar with. But it's not important who they are. What's important is how you act. Many people to this day have a hard time with the scripture, to love your neighbor yourself. You know why? Most of the time they say, well, I don't love myself, so how can I love my neighbor? You know? Might be a cop out. It might be true, because I would venture to guess, a lot of you don't love yourself all the way. A lot of you struggle with it. Well, you get it honest. I mean, if you look at the scriptures, the first two chapters of Genesis talking about the creation, what happens when God creates Adam and Eve? He puts them in the garden, everything's going great, tells them, don't do anything. So you can do anything you want, just don't eat from this one tree. What do? They want what they want when they want it. Their ego gets in their way. Their ego gets in their way. Their self. And so therefore they go and they take what they want. What happens then? They realize that they shouldn't have done that. And all of a sudden they go from egocentricity to shame. The things that you don't like about yourself can really be cut down into either that category, shame, or the category of egocentricity, narcissism, whatever you want. Most everything can be fought under those two things. So the fact that you don't love yourself, well, you get it naturally. It's genetically predisposed to you, I guess. But the question is, how do you get over that? How do you move out of that? Well, I think this scripture, and I've never unpacked it like this before, I think this scripture says something really clear. The way you begin to love yourself is not by trying to do mind games or anything like that. The way you begin to try and really love yourself in the areas that are difficult to love yourself, which, by the way, we all have them, okay, is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Why? Because the things that you don't like in your neighbor or the people across your path, No matter where they live or know what it is, even if it's prejudice that you have on race, creed, color, whatever, okay, are probably things that you don't like in yourself. Carl Jung would attend to that. It's called your shadow side in psychological terms. But by overcoming that, where you say, despite who they are, despite the fact that I don't like some things about them, but I'm going to try and love them, when you start to do that, you see yourself change. You know, I'll never forget a friend of mine one time, she said this. She said, you know, over the years, I've prayed for a lot of people. And every time I pray, you know what? I pray for some things that they'll change. They don't always change. But you know what? If I really pray earnestly, they may not change, but I change. See, the transformation starts taking place in you when you begin to love your neighbor. All of a sudden, you can start accepting things in yourself that you never were able to understand nor accept. When you start loving your neighbor, all of a sudden you have the ability to lift yourself up out of a hole that, to tell you the truth, you're probably stuck in because you're trying to think, I should be more disciplined in this. I shouldn't have lost my cool. Why did I do that? It's not my fault. Usually you fall, it's cumulative, isn't it? You know, when somebody does something to you, the first thing you do is you try and protect yourself. Even though you did it, then what do? You try and blame them. You know, you blame them. But you got to get yourself out of that blame. So how do you get yourself out of that blame? You pull yourself out. You pull the me out of blame. What do you get when you pull the me out of blame? You get blah, 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 blah. And when you pull the blame away and you start looking at your neighbor and you start working on, I'm going to work hard to try and love my neighbor, all of a sudden the process comes together with inside yourself where you really do care for yourself more than you've ever cared for yourself in a way like you've never cared for yourself. And you've loved your neighbor and you've begun to be in a place where actually you're prepared to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, Jesus really does say, if you hate your neighbor, you can't love me. If you hate your neighbor, you can't love me. And so if you get to that place where I'm suicidal, everything, well then, to tell you the truth, because you're doing it to them, you're doing it to him. God, I hate this scripture. You know, the other day, you know, I mean, I was thinking to myself, you know, and you know, my bicycling adventures, here's another one, just bear with it. You don't have that much longer to hear these stories. So, but the truth of the matter is, you know, the other day, you know, it was early in the morning, I got up before dawn, got out, got on the road, rode my deal down, got down, turned around, and I was at the place where I had to cross Atlantic to get over onto Saxon, and to do that, you know, I'm riding along as fast as I can. I'm looking over my shoulder to see if I can pull out. Look over, a car goes by, look over. Looks like the car is pretty far back, so I zip over into the middle lane because it's three lanes there. And I'm in the middle lane, and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I got it. You know, 2 seconds have gone by. I couldn't have been too close to him, you know. And all of a sudden, this car comes up, and it's you know, and I'm thinking, do I know them? And they're just saying hello. And you all know my natural inclination, sign language. Well, I luckily went like this, I like Mr. Rogers or something. And all of a sudden they swerved into the middle lane. That was kind of a takeaway that I don't think they were saying hello to me. You know what? At first, I wanted to get even. Get like a car and a bike. Who's going to win it? No? I must be smoking something when I think like that. But the truth of the matter is I was angry. How dare you do that? I gave you plenty of time. I even went through all the rules of the road in my head to say, well, I'm on the right. Obviously, I got in front of it. I had the right of way. You know, like there's a right of way between a bike and a car, you know. But then all of a sudden I said, you know, I got to change this up. I don't know, to this day, actually, I thought it was a parishioner that was maybe honking at me. So I called this one that I thought was He said, no, you cut me off 3 days ago, but not yesterday. That didn't help. But my point in saying this is, it's not them that's got to change, it's me that's got to change. And yet, isn't it true that when somebody irritates you, whether it be, you know, somebody you live with or somebody you live next door to, isn't it that they're wrong? They're the ones that do it. Well, I'm just here to tell you this morning is when you get that angry at somebody, where you start getting that enmity there, you're moving further and further away from God. But when all of a sudden you begin to even feel that enmity, but you say, I'm going to love them, and I'm going to change the way I operate, you're getting closer to God. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't look at the scribe who asks the question and say, well, you're in the kingdom of God. He says, you're getting close to the kingdom of God. You see, we're all in a process of being transformed. But how much do you participate in that process? Are you willing to start trying to love the people that live around you? Your family, your friends, all those folks. And not blaming them and not trying to write it off and not trying to get yourself to say self, not yourself, but self, which is your ego. Because that's what most of us do. We want to say self. God, I can't have that damage. Oh, you know, it served me so well all these years. You want the truth? The self has been mean to you more times in your life than any neighbor you ever had. That's a truth. Think about it. How many times have you ever been really mad at yourself in a sense, but you had to get it out of the way, you know? I actually think I sometimes do that. You know. But it's where all of a sudden we say, no, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love that neighbor because in doing so, in loving my neighbor, I begin to approach being closer to myself. And by being closer to myself and loving my neighbor, all of a sudden, I'm showing God I really love him. How easy are you? Easy like Sunday morning? Because I'm easy. But I sure don't sound like it. Why in the world would anyone want to put myself in chains? But I put myself in chains, don't I? As you come to the Eucharist, I pray that you come committing yourself to walk more like Jesus. Walk more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. To love more like Jesus. To be open more like Jesus. And to smile like Jesus does upon each and every one of us every day. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.